Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 23rd, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Community Bearing Colors, a Huge Honor. Dennis Lab School students step up to care for school's U.S. flag. The old ragged flag at Dennis Lab School needed to be replaced. Boy Scout Carter Schniep and friends, fellow scout Sola Nozaki and their classmate Gavin Krim, stepped up to handle it. All three are 13 and in 7th grade at the school, and Carter has learned the flag code in Boy Scouts. "It was in November, Veterans Day, when we did the flag raising," Carter said. "Our flag was in tatters and ruins, and you can't fly a flag that isn't good. So we had to retire the flag. It was part of that ceremony. I was part of that ceremony. I helped raise the new flag up, which we still use today." Teachers Curtis Eisen and Phil Winicky, who is himself a scoutmaster for another troop, Tony Holly and Mark Potter, were also part of the flag retirement ceremony. "The ragged flag was dropped off to be respectfully disposed of, and since then, Carter, Sola, and Gavin have come to school early each morning to raise the flag. The flag is kept in a cabinet in the office," Carter said, "formally folded into a triangle, and the boys are careful to treat it with care, carrying it against their chests as they take it outside, keeping it from touching the ground, and tying it off once it's raised with the proper figure 8 knot. When they take it down, at the end of the day, they refold it into a triangle with the stars on the outside. On Wednesday, the boys receive certificates and flag pins in recognition of their service from Staff Sergeant Levi Peterson of the United States Army. Peterson is the local recruiter and thanked each one. 'It's a huge honor, and it's really awesome of them to do that every day this year,' Peterson said." Dennis Assistant Principal Keith Creighton said the staff decided this year to create an honor guard who would handle the flag duties. "It was a great way to give students responsibility and ownership of something at the school and also make it more ceremonial every day that they were raising and lowering the flag, rather than having it done by a custodial services or something like that," Creighton said. "It's been fun to watch them do it, and they've been very dedicated the whole time." The boys plan to continue next year and will have to choose and train successors to take over the year after that when they move on to high school. "It's also been a good opportunity to talk to students about when the governor or president has ordered the flag to be flown at half staff, to talk about why that is," Creighton said. "The flag was flown at half staff for a whole month after the death of former President Jimmy Carter, so we talked about when it has to be raised and when it has to be lowered, and how that whole process works. It's important to remember that the flag represents the country and all it stands for," Gavin said, "and that's why the boys treat it with respect." And there are several photos here on page 8. There's one photo of just the flag, and must be enough wind for it to be flying straight out. And there's a picture of 7th grader Sola Nozaki getting the flag pin from Staff Sergeant Levi Peterson to recognize his work caring for the flag every day at Dennis Lab School in Decatur on Wednesday, May 21st. And there are two other young men standing looking on. And then Secretary Donna Hahn thanks 7th grader Carter Schniep for his dedication of raising the flag and lowering the flag every day at Dennis Lab School in Decatur. The U.S. flag flies over Dennis Lab School on Wednesday. This is a larger picture just showing the whole school, the parking lot, and the staff, the flagpole and flag, and it's flying over Dennis Lab School in Decatur on Wednesday, May 21st. And the front page photo shows 7th graders Carter Schniep, Sola Nozaki, and Gavin Krim are each given flag pins from Staff Sergeant Levi Peterson in recognition of their work caring for the flag every day at Dennis Lab School in Decatur on Wednesday, May 21st. And Carter Schnipp and Sola Nozaki are in their scout uniform, and Gavin Krim is in a t-shirt, and Staff Sergeant is in, Levi Peterson is in fatigues. And then there's a close-up, a picture of 7th grader Carter Schnipp receiving the flag pin from Staff Sergeant Levi Peterson to recognize his work caring for the flag every day. And Staff Sergeant Levi Peterson is pinning the American flag pin to the collar of Carter Schnipp's scout uniform. Also on the front page, we see the under Recreation Senior Center Planning approved board lays groundwork for facility at Scoville Park West. Making the golden years of Decatur's aging population a little brighter won't come cheap. $8 million could represent the low-end ballpark estimate for a glittering new senior activity center. But after some nervous glances at the price tag predictions, the Decatur Park Board voted to push ahead with the detailed planning needed to pave the way for the project. The board's Wednesday meeting approved a services proposal from Forsyth-based firm Architectural Expressions covering the design, bidding out, and construction oversight of the new center if it goes ahead. The building is intended to replace the Scoville West Activity Center for seniors now housed at the former golf course on the far west edge of the city. The new building is proposed to be lavish with both space and resources. Big meeting rooms to house fun events, exercise, and meals. There are plans to provide space to crucial service providers like CHELP, offering practical assistance and support to keep seniors in their homes and help them deal with darker issues like elder abuse. The principal of Architectural Expressions, Larry Livergood, spoke at Wednesday's meeting and pressed for a timeline on when all this might happen, said ground would be broken within a year. The cost, however, looms over the project and casts a daunting shadow. Some help is at hand at $2.8 million grant already in the bag and meeting planning expenses, courtesy of state taxpayers via the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. The rest of the bill will be down to a bond issue and hopefully some deep-pocketed donors now being wooed by the Park District Administration. Clay Gerhard, the district's executive director, said moving ahead with detailed planning and preparation will give a much better idea of what it's all going to cost. If the sticker shock is too high, he said the board had the option to pause the project. We could postpone it for a couple of months, 6 months, a year, while it mulls its options. An ultimate decision to kill it, however, might have costs too. Board Commissioner Stacy Young asked, so if we decide this project doesn't move forward, will we have to repay the grant? Gerhard said that was possible, although there are options to extend the window to use it. And he said the board was already having to do that as construction won't start in time to meet the grant's original timeline. Gerhard told Young and her four fellow commissioners that the stresses and strains imposed on society by a massive bell curve of aging baby boomers had to be dealt with, or we would all face the consequences. He said a center like the one proposed for Decatur would provide recreation, support, and socialization for a graying population, dealing with increasing loneliness and the need for enhanced help and support. Gerhard said it was part of a national and state initiatives to see park districts step up to help. It all stems from this push to take care of our seniors and leave them active, engaged, and able to stay in their own homes longer, he said. Otherwise, they'll crash the welfare system in our nation. Speaking to the Herald and Review after the meeting, Gerhard said since the Park District had absorbed the services of the now closed Decatur-Macon County Senior Center, the Scoville West Activity Center was running flat out. Every day, we've got a couple of hundred people coming through the facility, he said. He said that that trend is only destined to surge upwards as the boomers age out of their working lives and look to what comes next. Asked if the proposed new senior activity center would be a good investment in our community's future, he replied, "Absolutely, absolutely." Another business, season plans to cater to a younger audience got pushed back. The Splash Cove Water Park was supposed to open Saturday, but was delayed until May 29th due to the unseasonable temperatures. Gerhard said it cost $4,000 a day to run Splash Cove, and the promised scarcity of shivering swimmers just didn't make the original opening date worth it. Singing star Brett Michaels, who was due to open the Devon Amphitheater season Thursday evening, had to also apparently noted the cold winds blowing through Decatur. Park commissioners were told that he discussed the weather with the amphitheater's general manager, Dustin Bradshaw. "Don't worry," Michaels was quoted as saying, "I'm going to bring the heat." More good news for younger Park District users came with the approval to spend $73,000 on a Yalp-Sutu interactive ball wall destined for Garfield Park. That allows the players to indulge in a variety of interactive games linked through their cell phones as they kick or throw balls at the electronic wall. And Garfield Park will also get a new $74,000 pavilion after commissioners signed off on that purchase, too. They also formally approved a 4-year lease agreement with SkyWest, providing jet passenger service at the Decatur Airport. Commissioner Bob Brilley II noted the sleek jets are filling up all their 50 seats, and Airport Manager Tim Wright said business was booming. "We are seeing leakage from other communities," he said, "of rising passenger numbers. One of the biggest ones we've seen is from Springfield, from the fact that they lost United service over a year ago." Commissioners were also told that interest in the Scoville Zoo is flying high, too, especially since it took delivery of its latest inhabitants, a pair of mountain lions. Facebook traffic for the zoo has jumped by 24,000 followers in recent weeks. Also on the front page, education, makeup grad service set at MacArthur. MacArthur High School's graduation on May 17th wasn't the happy celebration that parents had anticipated. Families with the required tickets to attend the ceremony began lining up at 10 a.m. with graduation scheduled for 11 a.m., but the line moved so slowly that a significant number of them were still waiting when the ceremony started at 10 a.m. Those families finally were admitted and sent to the overflow area in the auditorium to watch a live feed on the screen, but the live feed malfunctioned, and the photographer snapping photos of each graduate receiving his or her diploma was standing so that the view was obstructed, even when the live feed was working. For those still looking to create a positive graduation ceremony memory, Decatur Public Schools has scheduled a modified graduation experience for 6:30 p.m. Thursday, May 29th. Families who are wanting to take advantage of the modified event are asked to call the MacArthur office at 217-362-3153. Again, that's 217-362-3153 by today, Friday at 7 p.m., May 23rd, and provide their student's name, the parent, guardian's name, and a contact phone number. Superintendent Rochelle Clark sent out a robocall to families with her regrets and information about the Thursday event. Parent Megan Myrick, whose son Jamarius was among the graduates, said that the line didn't move at all until 10:40, and that people were still outside, missing the ceremony at 11:30. "Honestly, I'm more angry now than I was on Saturday," Myrick said. "The way they've handled this is unacceptable." Board members posted apologies on Facebook and said that they were not aware of what was happening during the graduation. "I want to personally apologize to each and every member of our community that was impacted by the events at MHS graduation," said board member Kevin Hale. "I want to assure all that we will resolve these issues going forward." Board member Will Wetzel also apologized on Facebook and said that he's working on returning all the calls and emails he has received in regard to the situation. Myrick's other children missed their own sports events on Saturday to attend their brother's graduation, she said. And if she can manage to attend the modified graduation on Thursday without making them miss their games again, she will. But her main concern right now is her daughter, Felicia, who will graduate next year. "I care more about finding out the cause of what happened Saturday, who's responsible for the multiple problems, and what is going to be done to avoid that happening next year," Myrick said. Memorial Day events honor fallen in Decatur. Looking for a way to honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for their country this Memorial Day weekend? Check out these Macon County observances and events. Macon County Sheriff Jim Root will be the guest speaker at the memorial service Monday, May 26th at Graceland Cemetery in Decatur. This service, which is hosted by the Macon County Veterans Assistance Commission, will include the placing of wreaths and a moment of silence. Graceland Cemetery also is hosting its annual Avenue of Flags, featuring nearly 200 full-size American flags along the front driveways of the Oakland Avenue Cemetery, beginning Friday, May 23rd, today. A service will be held at 9 a.m. Saturday, May 24th. Mount Gilead Cemetery at South Franklin Street and Mount Gilead Roads will host a memorial service at 2 p.m. Sunday, May 25th. Kozier Harley-Davidson, 150 West Marion Avenue, Forsyth, is teaming up with local Boy Scouts to host a Memorial Day barbecue at 10 a.m. Saturday, May 24th. Cold weather delays Splash Cove opening. Mother Nature has put a damper on the start of the Splash Cove summer screen. I think we mentioned that in the earlier article. We regret to inform you that opening day, May 24th, of Splash Cove will be delayed due to unseasonably cold weather, the Decatur Park District announced Wednesday afternoon. The water park's new opening date is set for Thursday, May 29th. Deal may come in vehicular assault case. Unique F. Hess, who police say has a habit of damaging the home of her ex-boyfriend and is now charged with trying to run over his current girlfriend with a car, looks ready to do a deal with prosecutors. She has so far denied charges, accusing her of aggravated assault with a motor vehicle and criminal damage, but Macon County court records show her case is now scheduled for a disposition hearing June 24th, which usually indicates her defense attorney and prosecutors have hashed out some sort of plea deal. A sworn affidavit from the Decatur Police Department said the 19-year-old defendant had been arrested on the night of March 28th after fleeing from patrol officers. Officer Mose Nash, who signed the affidavit, said the police had been responding to the ex-boyfriend's home in the 2000 block of East William Street following a vehicle assault by the defendant. The 27-year-old former boyfriend, who is also the father of Hess's child, is quoted as telling police Unique had driven her car into the side of the house in an attempt to cause bodily harm to his girlfriend, according to Mose. The same version of events was given by the boyfriend's 28-year-old girlfriend, who said the vehicle was driven at her at a high rate of speed. The girlfriend said that Unique also broke multiple windows of her residence with a hammer, said Mose. The girlfriend was able to provide video footage from her cell phone that showed the vehicle make contact with the residents and pull away, as well as Unique approaching the residents with a hammer. Questioned after her arrest, Hess is quoted as admitting to police she had driven into the house, but denied using the hammer, which was found in her vehicle, to break windows. Nash said a check of police records shows that Hess had racked up two other charges involving criminal damage done to the East William Street house. He had argued that if she were released from custody, she would more than likely return to East William and possibly cause bodily harm to the current girlfriend or her ex-boyfriend. But Judge Lindsay Shelton had ruled that these were sufficient safeguards that would allow Hess to be freed. There were sufficient safeguards that would allow her to be freed, and she was granted pretrial release March 31st. Her freedom came with conditions that she stays away from the girlfriend and away from the East William Street home. State Representative Deering rose out reading program. State Representative Regan Deering, Republican of Decatur, has launched a summer reading program called Reading is Sweet to encourage students in kindergarten through fifth grade to hit the books this summer break. The program is open to students who live in or attend school in the 88th House District, which includes all or portions of DeWitt, Livingston, Macon, McLean, and Piatt counties, including the outskirts of Bloomington and Decatur. To join, students must read eight books over the break and have their parent or guardian certify that the book was finished, a news release explained. Books over 150 pages in length can count as two books, and books read or other reading programs count as well. Those who complete the program will be invited to an ice cream party with Deering later this summer and will also receive an official House of Representatives certificate showing their achievement. Parents can inquire about submission forms at their local libraries or online at repdeering.com/read. REPDEERING.com/read. Submissions are due by July 15th. In state news, teen in need of heart transplant graduates high school. This is from Chicago, the Chicago Tribune. It had all the makings of a typical graduation party. Blue and yellow streamers lined the room. Signs were posted on the walls that said, "Congrats, grad 2025. You did it, and make the grade." In the back, there was a table full of Chips Ahoy and Oreos and even a cake that read, "Congratulations, Tavion," in blue frosting, except the party was held on the 22nd floor of Lurie Children's Hospital in honor of one of the hospital's patients, 18-year-old Tavion Norris. He had been attending West Layden High School in Northlake when his senior year was suddenly interrupted in March due to heart failure, forcing him to spend the tail end of his final year of high school in the hospital. But Norris refused to let his condition stop him from graduating on time and succeeded. On Wednesday, May 21st, Norris, wearing a blue cap and gown, was handed his diploma. Graduation music played in the background as he traversed from one end of the hospital hallway to the other room of the ceremony. "This is a very good day. Despite what he's going through, he was still able to graduate with his class," Tanika Norris, Tavion's mother, said. "It's good that he has a big crowd to see him achieve and accomplish one of his dreams and his goals, and just to be loved by everybody, because nobody knows what it's like to face what he has." In 2019, her eldest son was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, a neuromuscular condition where the body is unable to make dystrophin, a protein that helps keep muscles together. Without dystrophin, muscles in various parts of the body, such as the legs, arms, and heart, get replaced with fibrous tissue. That can lead to bigger health problems, such as heart failure and losing the ability to walk. Norris was in elementary school when one day his mother received a phone call from the gym teacher. "I was at work and he told me that I needed to get Tavion tested," she recalled. "And I'm like, what's going on?" He was like, "I noticed that Tavion is not moving like he used to move, like his pace has slowed down." Norris was eventually referred to Dr. Catherine Gambetta, a pediatric cardiologist at Lurie Children's Hospital. Gambetta said that Norris was around 12 or 13 when he was diagnosed and said that he was coming in at least every 6 months. But he actually had heart dysfunction, probably when he was around 15, and then over time that got worse and worse, Gambetta said. This is what we see. The heart dysfunction gets worse over time in boys, and that the leading cause of death in boys who have Duchenne, I'm sorry if I mispronounce it, muscular dystrophy, is due to heart failure. In the past year, Norris, who uses a wheelchair, had been admitted to the hospital multiple times, but his admittance about 2 months ago was unlike any of the others. 2 months ago, he got really, really sick. He wasn't sleeping, he wasn't eating, he was just throwing up, his mother recalled. One morning, about 3 a.m., Norris called his mom, and she found vomit everywhere in the bathroom, prompting her to call an ambulance. On March 11th, Norris was admitted as an inpatient to the hospital, which he was not happy about. And he said, "Mama, see, I told you I didn't want to come here because I knew they were going to keep me here. I want to go back to school," his mother said. I said, "Tavion, it's either that or you're not going to be here." The journey to get her son to graduation has not been an easy one. "I stopped working because it started getting tough," Norris's mother said. "Kept going to the doctor. He kept getting sicker, missing a lot of school, calling the school, letting them know what's going on. It's just been hard." Norris's mother initially did not think that her son would be able to graduate on time while in the hospital. "I thought it was going to be a struggle, but he proved me wrong," she said. Well, it's not the first time Lurie Children's Hospital had a graduation for a student. The level of care from West Layden High School that was put into helping Norris graduate was noted by the staff at Lurie Children's Hospital, making this one feel extra special. Hannah Herrick, a school services coordinator for Lurie's Children's Hospital, said she started working with Norris when he was admitted about 2.5 months ago. "Tavion can be very stoic at times, and he's very shy," Herrick said. Finishing up school for Norris looked like a hybrid model, where he would have online classes with an instructor from his high school and Herrick by his side for additional in-person support. Providing those online classes, Herrick said, was out of the norm. Most schools don't do that for their students. So that was awesome, Herrick said. One of Herrick's favorite moments with him was when she told him that he had one task left, which was around the same time the two started working together. Tackle George Orwell's novel, Animal Farm. The smile that came across his face was just so memorable, Herrick said. And he was like, "Whoa, really?" Like he couldn't believe it. Herrick said that she was worried initially at how Norris was going to perceive the book, but those worries soon faded into the background. Not only did Norris finish reading the whole book, but he watched both movie adaptations and came up with rigorous reading comprehension questions. As for the next steps, Norris is on a waiting list for a heart transplant. According to Gambetta, he's been on the list for a heart transplant since May 1st. Gambetta said she's hopeful that Norris will get his heart transplant soon, noting that he's been given an Impella ventricular assist device to allow him to get the transplant. His family is also fundraising for a minivan through the JET Foundation in order to make traveling together as a family easier. Beyond the heart transplant, what career path Norris will pick is still up in the air, but his mother did note that he had previously considered being an NBA commentator. "He wanted to be that, so I said, okay, well, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to learn how to do what they do and what they say and learn how to dress. Well, he knows how to dress himself, his mother said, so hopefully that might still be his pathway. But regardless of his journey, one thing he was made clear as he was handed his diploma by Nick Polyak, superintendent of Layden High School, District 212. No matter where you go and what you do, you will always be a Layden Eagle, Polyak said. This is Barbara Ridenour with the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 23rd, 2025. Please stay tuned.